I'd like to welcome you to Prairie UU Society this morning. Many of you will find on your on a seat here somewhere an order of service. And one of the things that we realized is that when the RE program goes downstairs, many of the adults and youth of this group miss our announcements. So we're going to try moving the Prairie announcements up front so that everybody gets some information. We're also trying various ways to have information available so it's not all here at this service. On the back table there is some community announcements and things from other Unitarian groups. There's a batch of Unitarian Universalists who are having B&B weekends around special events. So there's some there from Pasadena for the Rose Fest, Rose Parade, one there from whale watching. I've got some, I forgot to bring it, for the Winter Sports Weekend in Wausau. First Society's Trees of Tomorrow, they want to go cross-country skiing. So things like that I'm going to have on the back table for people to look at. And also, the community service political stuff, and I think there's a boy choir thing. So we're going to try and move things there for people to take a look at instead of having all those things happen in the service. I have two Prairie announcements. Today is the Prairie Fire deadline for the next 2 weeks, and you can get your announcements to Dick today by 6. He has a writing paper and pen here if you have a written announcement you want to hand to him. The other is, many of you have seen in your newsletter an announcement about the new songbook that the UUA is putting out. It's the name of that, this one, Singing the Living Tradition. And this morning, we got a preview booklet, and this morning Mike is having a couple of songs from that that we're going to be singing this morning. But they're selling them at a reduced rate if you pre-order. So if you pre-order this year, you can pay $25 for the songbook, and the price goes up to $30 after that. So many people here, if they want one, are buying one for themselves and one for Prairie, and some other people are buying one to donate to Prairie. So when's the deadline for that, Mike?
We've extended the deadline somewhere into January, and you can put half down, mm-hmm. and it's $12.50 per copy. That's half of the reduced mm-hmm. price. And then the other half would be due somewhere in May.
So, and when, I don't remember if they said when they expected to deliver them. I suppose that's on delivery.
Delivery is still uncertain.
Mm-hmm. Is it in 93?
Somewhere in 93.
The process, Joe?
Huh?
The process, the order.
Order, you let Mike
I'm
know.
I'm taking orders, and Susan Hagstrom is taking money.
So, coordinating between them. I mean, if you write out a check and say for songbooks or one songbook or two songbooks and let Mike know and put it like that for Susan, then she's going to keep track. So I know several people want a songbook.
You write a check for Prairie or who?
Prairie.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other Prairie announcements? Alan.
Again, Lyndon and I want to invite everyone to bring their pictures to our house on Friday night this week at 7:30 for a nostalgia trip. Old people, new people, young people are all invited. It's potluck as far as snacks and beverages. We can come even if we don't have a flight.
That's right.
You may come even if you don't have a flight.
Metchie.
December 6th, sometimes, come to a little bit. There will be a program here. I don't know what we're going to call it, but my son.
We have a world.
Maybe it's a good name. Yeah. My son Jeffrey went to the UNCED conference last spring, and he has sent a bunch of papers, and I did a tape with him. He did a tape for me at my request. We're going to incorporate that along with a lot of other information about the conference. And there was a write-up about him, by him, in the Northern Light, the newspaper of the University of Alaska. And I'll put this on the board back there if I can find a space so you can meet it. Tell us a lot about it, too. It should be a great program, because we're also going to call up.
Mm-hmm. And he's in Alaska.
Yeah, he's in Anchorage.
Speakerphone.
Pat.
I received a nice letter from Eleanor Knox. Can I send her Warren summary of the history of Prairie? She and Maury were prominent members of our group way back, and she sent me a clipping for our archives, an article about Dave Meyer, who was our halftime minister for 2 years back in the early 70s. He came, you know, on October 29th, and many of you met him, and we really didn't look a lot different from this, a bit. Anyway, I'll put this on the bulletin board, and then we'll give it to Jack for our archives.
I took a bunch of pictures at the 25th anniversary party and also the service duties, and I've got a little album in them out on the guest table, a little white album.
Okay. I have been collecting the letters that we have gotten and hope to get together with someone to put them in a scrapbook that we can have for the next anniversary. We got also a letter from Faye that I'll put in the Prairie Fire this week, Faye Lesner. Today there is a potluck after the service, and then we have our fall meeting, and we hope to start at 12:30. We do have childcare. Fortunately, Robin and Melissa are going to be looking after kids this afternoon. This is sort of representative of the next generation coming in and doing childcare. Lily and Nora were in La Crosse doing Oklahoma, so they're looking after kids this morning, but I bet they're exhausted. anything else? All right, Mike?
We're going to do Grieve Not Your Heart. Now, excuse this, but there's a song I want to sing a little later and have you join on the chorus, and it's much easier for me to look out at you. This way, you should have Grieve Not Your Heart on the song sheet. And this is from Singing the Living Tradition, a section called Words from Sacred Traditions, words by Confucius. As you see. Printed us under Unity Churches.
Oh, hilarious.
I suppose we are a Unity Church, but not in the sense that they mean anything. Topic for today's meeting is Dear Bill, a letter to the President-elect. I like the chalice, and the hope that things are going to be a little different come January 20th. It says here we're going to do the Bond of Union, and this is going to be a test of memory, I think, for some of us. It is on the wall. We could do it antiphonally, I guess. Okay, I'll say it and you say it after me. We the members of Prairie.
We the members of Prairie.
Wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community.
Wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community.
Which affirms that we share a common humanity.
Which affirms that we share a common humanity.
That we need one another.
That we need one another.
And that our futures are inescapably bound together.
And that our futures are inescapably bound together.
Together we would expand our intellectual horizons.
Together we would expand our intellectual horizons.
Enrich our sensory experiences.
Enrich our sensory experiences.
And deepen our emotional sensitivities.
And deepen our emotional sensitivities.
We would sharpen our ethical awareness.
We would sharpen our ethical awareness.
And broaden our sense of social responsibility.
And broaden our sense of social responsibility.
We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life.
We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life.
Yet not at others' expense.
Yet not at others' expense.
As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky.
As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky.
Let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world.
Let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world.
And with one another.
And with one another.
Reach out and touch somebody. You're on, I think. With children? No? You were not going to do something with children here? Today? Now? I had the impression you were. No? All right. Children want to come up front? There was something about the speak by and by, you said.
Oh, we're going to do it downstairs.
Downstairs? Oh. That's...
Right.
Come on up. Anybody here? Anybody else want to come up front? This isn't limited to, you know, anybody can come sit up here if they want. I get this magazine. It's called Sing Out. And it's full of songs and it's full of stories. And this one has a story called Kindergarten Wall. It's got a song called Kindergarten Wall. It's a song written by a man called John McCutcheon that I'm not going to sing.
It was written by Robert Fulton, who's a Unitarian minister.
Exactly. He took the words. John McCutcheon took the words from Fulton's
sermon.
All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. What? You're all through kindergarten, right, Tara?
I still
got
a lot to learn.
A lot to learn. If there's one thing, now this is open to anybody, not just the people who are sitting up front. How many of you read this, the Robert Fulghum thing? Most everybody, okay.
You did print it in the prayer fair several years ago.
Okay, it's on the back of your order of service, which I thought we might work over it a little later, but... What could you add to Mr. Fulghum's list of things he learned in kindergarten? What did you learn in kindergarten, Tara, that you'd want to can't remember? You'd want to remember for the rest of your life?
Your alphabet.
Your alphabet? That's a good thought.
What comes first, second, and third?
What comes first, second, and third, I'm getting here?
How to take a nap.
Good advice, how to take a nap.
Don't throw sand.
Yep. Don't throw sand? Maybe on Fulghum's list.
I like to go to sleep.
You like to go to sleep?
No.
No? Maylee answers. She doesn't like to go to sleep. Don't leave.
When I was 4 years old, my parents taught out in a rural school and they couldn't find a babysitter, so I went to school for first grade when I was four. We had a tornado that just, I'm going to make this fast, we had a tornado that destroyed the school. So we went to school in a sod house, and we had to play outside, and the rule I learned that I've never forgotten is never put your hand in tunnels and always destroy your tunnels because there were snakes all over the
place. I think Freud might have something to say about that. Yeah.
Metal thing with
holes in it in a pot bottle or something like that to use as a sprinkler for when you iron. I can still remember doing that in the garden.
What a good idea.
Blanket stitch.
What a good idea. Mechie?
I learned to bite my graham cracker and suck my milk through it.
Useful lifelong learning, I think. How about these guys up front? Anything else? What grade are you in? Are you in kindergarten? What do they teach you in kindergarten these days? Teaching anything?
Oh, no. Come for a story.
Yeah, Betty.
I learned a song in kindergarten, and my mother said she never found out the tune of it until my sister went to kindergarten 3 years later.
Oh, my goodness. This is what he says, Robert Fulgham. I say you got it on the back of your order of meeting. Let's do it the way I've got it here. And I heard him on the radio once, and he is the funniest man. Very dry sense of humor. He was reading from his second or third book. Share everything.
Play there.
Don't hit people.
Put things back where you found them.
Clean up your own mess.
Don't take things that aren't yours.
Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody.
Wash your hands before you eat.
Flush.
Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you.
Live a balanced life. Learn some, and think some, and draw, and paint, and sing, and dance, and play, and work every day some.
Take a nap every afternoon.
When you go out in the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together.
Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up. And nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that.
Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. And so do we.
And then remember, books, and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look.
And I thought if we stopped right there, that wouldn't be that bad advice for Bill Clinton. But we'll work on that. Let's say goodbye to some of these smaller people. Gather, Sing Out has a whole article on John McCutcheon, who's been kind of a... God, this looks sparse this morning. Come on closer. Unless you really need to sit at the back. And there are some people that need that hard bench, I know, but come on up a little closer.
Otherwise, Mary is lonely up here.
I don't know how many of you listen at all to Simply Folk, the state radio, public radio's folk music program, Sunday evenings. But for some unknown reason, Judy Rose, who's the host of that program, I think two consecutive Sundays before the election, played John McCutcheon's concert recording of this song that I'm going to try on you here. I cannot think why she thought it was relevant to the upcoming election. But she must have liked it so much. To say, John McCutcheon he's not the lead article, that's on a South African group, but there's a lot on John McCutcheon in here, and he's good. This one, as I say, is called Surprise, 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 and You Will Come In. That's the chorus pretty well. And if you can, you don't have the words in front of you, and that's deliberate, because I don't want to spoil the effect. But at the appropriate point, you can sing, or shout, or mutter, or whisper or whatever. It's surprise, surprise, surprise. There it is. Oh, the candidate stood with his hand on his heart. Let me make one thing perfectly clear from the start. There'll be changes coming, so long overdue. And here is a promise I'm making to you, that if to the White House I'm finally sent, I'll be the leader for the environment. Now he's a friend to the seas and the trees and the soil, though he made his first million a drilling for oil. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I just couldn't believe my eyes. I could hardly believe my ears. No, I never would have dreamt it in years. With our votes and our money, we trusted these guys, believed in their visions and their passionate cries. Now we suspect they've been telling us lies. Surprise! 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 The Congress convenes to have at it again, to slash all the programs that don't affect them. Cut food stamps and welfare, we'll weed out those cheats. It's time decent folk could go walking the streets. There ain't no free lunch, they will sternly espouse, unless you're employed in the Senate or the House. Now it seems they've some mysterious powers. Of course they're bouncing their own checks like they've always bounced ours. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I could hardly believe my eyes. I could hardly believe my ears. No, I never would have dreamt it in years. With our votes and our money, we trusted these guys. We believed in their visions and their passionate cries. Now we suspect they've been telling us lies. Surprise! 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 Oh, the seasons keep turning, the years roll away. Now a new crop of sweet talkers show up to say, this time it's different, we know how you feel. Who's Bill Clinton sleeping with? What's the big deal? It's the same thing that Ronnie and George did to us. We dig down deep for each dollar and dime, and then they expect we'll be trusting them just one more time. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I couldn't believe my eyes. I could hardly believe my ears. Oh, I never would have dreamt it in years. With our votes and our money, we trusted these guys. We believed in their visions and their passionate cries. Now we suspect they've been telling us lies. Surprise! 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 You may have noticed, if you read the newspapers or watch television or listen to radio, that Bill Clinton is getting an awful lot of advice. I don't see why we should be any different. And that's why I want to do something we haven't done around here for an awful long time. get together in small groups. It's an old prairie tradition that instead of everybody sitting down there and looking at somebody up here, we get around in little circles and we stare at each other.
No, that way everyone can talk at the same time and nobody minds.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes something productive comes of it, and I thought we might actually write a letter, obviously not in behalf of Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We'd have to have a meeting and a motion, firsts and seconds and all of that in order to do that.
We'll have that opportunity this afternoon.
Just takes 10 people to move this in as official policy if you want to do that. God forbid, says Julia. Got enough to do this afternoon, but I thought it might be best if we sort of limited this to a few topics. And what I want to do before we break up into small groups is to decide which topics we want to really give him advice on. We can send a copy of this letter to the papers if we think it'll do any good. Healthcare is one, I would think.
Gay rights. Cut the military budget 50%.
Well, hang on a minute. Don't go into specifics yet, Betty. Where's
the chart?
What shall we call that? Shall we call that defense?
Defense conversion.
Offense, whatever. I got healthcare, gay rights.
Mary's getting the chart from me.
That's nice.
Cuba.
Say what?
Cuba.
Foreign affairs.
International. That's enough.
Focus. Domestic policy.
Social.
Social ills. Social concerns.
Social health.
Social concerns.
The deficit.
Cut it off over half.
I've got one more then, and that's going to be money.
Justice. We'll have that anyway.
That could come under social concerns. I believe justice is commonly called a social concern. Oh, the environment. Have we got to boil these down somewhat? I missed one out in here someplace.
How can we choose?
I'm sorry, that's live.
He's got two terms.
I missed. What was the third one that came up? Healthcare, gay rights, and there was
Cuba.
Defense. Sounds like football, doesn't it?
Nobody's talking about defense. Unfortunately, no pens.
No pens. That's all right.
You have.
I have. Seven? Is that too many?
Yes.
Yes, they say. Voices from.
No, it's not. How many?
Not too many. We look at small groups here. Tell you what we can do. Let's start with seven small groups.
And then
we'll go with that for about 10 minutes, and then, or 5 minutes or whatever, and then 10 minutes, say. Then we'll have all change. Everybody get up, stretch, move around. You can pick a different group.
Mike?
Yes?
Why don't you have seven small groups and assign them topics? It might be easier.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and then you just switch the topics.
Yeah.
I think I understand. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay.
Break us up into groups, not knowing what topic we're going into now.
Yeah, just break it up.
Oh, do you like that?
No. Yes. No.
I like that, and I'm in charge.
Be present.
Form seven smallish groups. That's, you got four or five people in each one on today's headcount. Draw the chairs around. I will see if I can find some paper around here.
I think there is some.
Thank you.
We need some of that group over here.
Oh, well, you got enough there.
You got enough.
How many we got? Another group.
One.
Well, you need another group here.
Another group over here.
Well, first, if you have a group of one, you get to decide. Before you start, go around the group, tell everybody who you are. Introduce yourself.
Here's paper coming around.
Four people is fine.
Connie.
Right, go for it.
pick up something. You got 10 minutes. If you don't all talk so loud, you will hear each other better.
Is the letter form? Are we supposed to write this in letter form?
Sure, we'll mail it into a letter.
Is someone going to do that later?
I don't either.
You're going to do that later.
You ready to move? Or somebody else? What do you think? Sure, I like that. Yeah, okay. Okay, military defense. 60 seconds and it's going to be Grand Central. You all have something sort of written down? Good, good. Yes, 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 here we go. Everybody got something written down?
Switch papers.
Hang on, wait a minute. How should we do this? At random, why don't you pass the paper on to the next group that way round the room? And you've got a new paper. You are the critics and reviewers, the editors. You have a topic that's passed on to you by somebody else. Just once, I think. This is a sufficient screen, I think. You may pause it, you may subtract to it, you may totally change it, you may do whatever you want. Money. One minute. 1 minute. Oh, you hang on to it. Hang on. It starts something like this. Dear Governor Clinton, at our Sunday meeting on November 22nd, we discussed some of the subjects you will be dealing with as president. Here are our thoughts on these subjects. We hope they are useful to you. Who's got health care? What do we think about that? Oh, boy. Tell a group about it now. We can talk about it, see if the group accepts it.
I'm going to start with what the previous group said.
Yeah.
And then tag on with what we added so that it will make it hopefully a little more clear. Starting with health care available for all regardless of employment. Make MDs publicly employed, and our only question was who was the public, whether it was state or feds or who was employing them.
State.
Hospitals and equipment to be allocated by public need, not by aspirations of a hospital. Prices for services to be bargained by provider and public insurance carrier. Offer health care to children through school system that have that financed. I'm presuming you're saying so that the school district doesn't kind of pick up the bill for that as well. Then we tag on from there. Healthcare being a right, not a privilege. People shouldn't have to worry about healthcare, including prescriptions and dental and all those other aspects of healthcare that we don't think about quite as much. If it's going to be a government-operated system, we have to be careful about the levels of bureaucracy to make sure that funding goes where it's needed. And also make sure that it's going to all fields, not just whoever's high on the politician's list. Decisions regarding care should be based on the best interests of the patients and not necessarily just the best interests of the insurance carrier. Regulate healthcare. If it's going to be private, then the healthcare industry is going to need to have much more regulation on it. And preventative health care is very important in all areas. We shouldn't have to wait for emergencies in order to get health care.
Well,
primary care is the bulk of it.
Any discussion? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, well, when they mentioned that the cost they negotiated, they forgot the healthcare employees, and that's part of the cost, and they have, and they need the right of negotiation also.
That's right, providers, they said.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think providers is the management.
It's also, it's considered also the employees, I think, in the language.
Okay. Sound pretty good?
Part of the problem of driving healthcare costs up is paying a living wage to the employees, particularly nurses, which is going to be a problem that we'll need to struggle with.
You think you'd bring the cost of Band-Aids and such down?
Yeah, I have some stuff that this elastic tubing stuff that I sell to patients that work at 75 cents a foot.
I'd like us to make a strong pitch in favor of the Canadian-style plans, where a lot of these other problems tend to vanish, which is as a retired physician, I would not like to see the doctors being federal employees. Because if you look at the VA, it's a horrible example. I don't think the federal government is capable of managing in detail.
Well, look at Medicare, too.
How about that? Do we want them on the...
We had it as a headline already.
Yeah, sorry. I totally overlooked it. That was
okay.
Underlined in my... Oh,
Canadian model. Okay.
Yeah,
let's move on to... Who's got gay rights?
This is a repository accessible. I'll start with the first group, but we'll go to the second.
Randy, could you stand so people can hear and see you?
First issue is stick with the idea of lifting a ban on gay lesbians in the military. Second is domestic partners have the same rights, so there'll be formal recognition of those partnerships. A new health plan which would include gay lesbian partners as spouses. I wasn't sure what hate crimes slash including homosexuality referred to.
Most places when they pass a hate crimes bill, the only way they can get it through their legislature is to cross off the words homosexuality. And so they pass it so that if it's a hate crime against somebody's race or religion or whatever, it gets passed. But the only way the legislature will approve it is if they omit homosexuality they put it as sexual orientation, and the only way they can get it through their legislatures is to cross that off before they pass it.
So it's legal maybe to attack.
But hate crimes legislation says is that there's a little bit extra prosecution involved, a little bit more crime involved, if you do it based on your hatred of that particular, you know, if it's obvious that what you were doing was hatred against that particular group.
How about saying this?
Rather than random.
Valid hate crimes laws should not exclude sexual preference.
Yeah. I didn't know we were passing this on to anybody else.
I'd like to be a heretic and say that crimes are crimes, and there's nobody that I will entrust to evaluate the motivation, which this involves going into the person's head that's supposedly insane. If he did it, he's guilty of that. I mean, crime is crime.
Usually they can't do anything with them unless the person is verbally saying things at the same time.
Yep, moving on. Well, we certainly could. Moving on. I will come up to the draft on this, or somebody will come. You got a little more, Randy? Yeah, go on.
I'll go back. Include sexual orientation in the preamble. We will not discriminate based on PBC. Social Security benefits for partners.
Mm-hmm.
Family recognition, which would include inheritance laws, second parent adoptions and child custody, foster parents, and tax status. And a 14th Amendment, which would state that we have equal protection under the law for all persons.
We're just referring back to that. I mean, it says equal protection for all persons, but somehow certain groups of persons have to keep getting added back in. Like, they had to add back in that we won't discriminate against blacks and we won't discriminate against women.
And so now, you know, it's like we are all persons, and so let's get recognized.
And we added three pieces to it. The first one was support for your inclusiveness of the issue of gay lesbians in the military, to support, have some common interest to support his inclusiveness rather than to assault it, to support it. Support for people who gather together to call themselves, quote, family, unquote. And the last is support for the notion that in schools the message should be homosexuality is a positive lifestyle.
I think we could. Comment.
Yeah, there was a lot about rights, but not a lot about assuming responsibilities. And I think that part of this means also to get with the system. If you're going to be a family, you have to take the responsibilities for that too. So that with the rights come the responsibilities.
Thank you. Explain.
Well, what I mean is that currently there's no affirmation of a gay family, but there's no responsibilities that come with the breaking up of a gay family either.
The courts refuse to recognize those responsibilities,
and what I'm saying,
trying to assert them.
And what I'm saying is that when I agree with the rights, but they also have to be linked to the responsibilities of achieving those rights.
How about saying that, you know, gay society should accord gay partners the same rights and responsibilities as other couples? Something on that order. Should recognize that gay partners, you know, have the same rights and responsibilities. Yeah.
A little bit more on his work, taking responsibility for the actions. I think there ought to be more of a nationwide, not only just a stand-up, but more of an educational of what constitutes this, because one of the things, the reason courts make their judgments in certain ways is because these people that are judges grow up learning certain values, and society changes while they're sitting on their benches.
I love it. Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is their views are from their own learning, and they don't understand the people. Like a few years back, yeah, there was a father that won custody from the mother because the mother got in a lesbian relationship. Yeah. And the judge sat there and asked her, what side do you take? Do you take the male side of the relationship or the female? And she could not explain that. So he said, well, I'm just going to take the children because she's all messed up. And that was just that judgment by the judge was made on ignorance of a particular lifestyle. There's no training on homosexuality.
Yeah, I think what they have there, and what's in the draft there about there was something about education, talking about discussing, you know, the subject in school as a positive lifestyle. It's going to take years to come up with something like, you know, for everybody to get converted. We've got to move on, though. Who's got defense? Good. Briefly. Wow, it's a page of very small writing.
Redeploying military and health in areas of need, such as relief work and building homes for the homeless. Change so that educational aid available to students is available to students without the necessity of being in the military. Cut the military by 50% and institute national services and use that money. Use the peace dividend to also, besides supporting the arts and other things, to convert defense contractors to peacetime product. Cut projects such as the B-52. Eliminate cost overruns. Hold them to their contracts. Cabinet level peace department. Make defensive vision of the peace department.
Used to be the Department of War.
Live up to the Constitution and our use of the military, in that we go to war only when Congress declares war instead of all these emergency actions, and pay our dues to the UN.
We like that. We all like that? Yeah.
Being a U.S. Navy veteran, 9.5 years, a lot of it isn't
The only thing I disagree on is cutting back. Well, it's one of the major things like that. It isn't that fact we need to cut back the money. We just need to spend the money wisely. I agree with your suggestions on cutting the programs and utilizing the military force for peace. But also, a lot of your recent police actions, if you find out, if we just went in there and did the job right the first time, we wouldn't have gone back the second or third or fourth time. So you have politics. Once they put the military to the grindstone, politics get involved, and they just draw out a situation which costs more and more money and lives.
Well, the reality of life in the military, from my understanding, which is about 15 years old now, is that when they cut back on defense, that money came out of the pockets of the service people and their benefits and not out of weapons systems. You know, at the time that Ken was in the service, one of the grunts at the E4 level, whatever that was, but he had a wife and two kids, he was below the poverty level and was eligible for food stamps.
I support that notion that if we're talking employment and jobs and conversion of the military to non-military kind of tasks, we're talking about weapons reduction in terms of cost efficiency and stuff. If I were there, I would say we go back to hand-to-hand combat.
It was national service in terms of people being involved in national service.
Uh-huh.
Services. Oh. I mean, it would include services, well, yeah. But it was people oriented in terms of. Right. Of
it's like a domestic peace corps kind of.
Right.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. And I think, yeah, we spent some time talking about the weapons and things, and I think somebody suggested that we make it. That any of the people who are defense contractors now not be allowed to sell them anywhere anymore. You know, since they're not just not engaging with contracts with the U.S. government, they don't ship everything overseas. Somebody pointed out, what did you say, it was the second largest export?
Something like that. Let's pick up the other four as briefly as we can. Foreign Affairs. Who's got it? Who's got Foreign Affairs?
We have.
Good.
Hey, most of our ideas were handed to us by the previous groups.
Oh, good.
Misrepresent you. Arms, being an arms merchant to the world is not a good way to produce our own prosperity. The suggestion is military hardware should not cross borders. And then there's a note, don't be hypocritical. If Russia can't sell arms, then we shouldn't be selling arms either. We want unconditional support for the UN's decisions, even if we disagree. We tack on there that we ought to pay our UN dues.
Also, yes. We accept the jurisdiction of the World Court. Remember the reminding of the
hardware.
Other countries should have self-determination. We shouldn't use our economic clout to tell them what to do or determine who holds office in another country. We need to mediate country-to-country disputes, but don't take sides. I mean, they're right. Referring to refugees, we should help countries bolster their economies so refugees are reduced in numbers. If there are refugees, we should sustain and provide for the refugees.
In their country.
In their countries.
Support them within their countries so they don't have to become refugees.
Mm-hmm. We should stop the policy of denying aid to countries who don't support family planning measures.
Yeah.
Very
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should improve relations with Cuba. Stop the embargo.
I would add Vietnam to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also the embargo on medicine and food in Iraq.
Yes.
Yes, would you agree with that?
Well, I think, you don't want to say all embargoes because that becomes the...
No.
The way you're leveraged when you don't want to...
We were talking about that they...
Right.
They use embargoes when they don't want, when they don't care about military events intervention, but they don't use embargoes when they could instead of military. So in other words, some places they use them, other places they don't.
Yeah. Or if they don't like the present government, they use it as punishment.
True.
So South Africa, where it should have been used, they were trying to leave, so...
Yeah.
Well, one more item.
Yeah.
One more item that's related. We should take money and support from countries with immoral, tyrannical governments that abuse human rights. Try to exert our influence by withholding support and money.
I've got one more. We should stop requiring other countries who receive aid from us buying tobacco and pushing cigarettes, because that's part of the AID agreement that the third world countries are having to sign. And it's one of the reasons why the tobacco companies are saying, we're not doing well in America, but the rest of the world is buying more and more cigarettes. And that's because the United States government requires it as a condition that they're part of their subsidy. We've got to stop being the big pusher.
Can I get a clarification?
Yeah.
Extend things, but I think the business about family planning.
What was that?
Yeah,
I think I missed the question.
Yeah, that we should give aid to, we shouldn't tie aid to countries to them doing family planning.
Well, if we don't like the way they do family planning, we won't give them any humanitarian.
Right now, we don't give aid.
So if they have like medical abortions
Family planning is different than abortion.
Yeah, but
that depends if you ask.
We don't give aid for family planning.
But they give birth control.
Yeah, you're talking about abortion.
Or birth control, period.
I'm not understanding. I mean, it sounds like you're saying, let's not tie aid to anything having to do with planning.
I think this can be edited out, or edited to make it clarify.
Well, that's what it sounded like they meant.
I have a comment to make on that. Yeah. The issue is population control in my mind. And yes. I think that family planning is strongly needed, and we need to educate about it as well as give money. So I think education is the key to
Yeah.
Actually, in family planning, they have statistics to show that if women have an education and a job, the families get much smaller.
Absolutely.
And so the basis for family planning is not us going in there and say, quit having so many babies. It's going in there and say, here, we'll help you get an education and become a small business person, and then you won't need to have so many children to support you in your old age.
I think
that
ought to be something like that. Supporting
multinational labor unions. Okay. So I'm going to try and clarify some of this with the help of maybe a couple other people. Let's see what comes up. Where have we got to? Social concerns?
Yep.
Yes. Who's got it?
Me.
Sing forth.
We got a backpack of social concerns.
Oh, good.
They mentioned AIDS, the hungry and the homeless, expanding Habitat for Humanity, education, federal funding for the schools, more parental involvement, stop the war on drugs, emphasize treatment, consider legalization, gun control, tobacco subsidies, and public works programs. We then converted these under what we thought were a more all-embracing kind.
Not the first
thing. I have to tell you, I find that kind of insulting.
At least they are very fast. There's some very good ideas.
And we built on what we had done. I was able to further refine it, not insulting at all. I must be.
You're not.
Under the headings of emphasizing preventive programs, first in healthcare. That would include AIDS, tuberculosis, venereal disease, addictions, cancer screenings, immunization programs, etc., etc., etc. Emphasis on prevention rather than rushing in after the crises are there. Preventive programs to combat social ills, under which, of course, would come things like Habitat for Humanity, And we mentioned specifically Head Start, education to the age of preparation for employment, which would include vocational training, which we feel that we neglected recently. Schools to offer social and recreational programs, both for school-aged children and for preschool-aged children. We didn't go any further, the whole purpose being to emphasize prevention. And then somebody mentioned something, which, and I wrote it down as, from each according to his or her abilities and to each according to his or her needs. That's a fairly old question. SSI recipients and others who receive government-provided income should be expected to contribute toward the provision of social services in either in their own area or in some other area, insofar as they are able. You don't get a check for doing nothing. You get a check because you have dignity and should be alive. But on the other hand, if you're in a wheelchair, you can still do things with your head, whatever. And as an example of to each according to his or her needs, I've written down eliminate double dipping retirement opportunities and have an integrated tax and government benefit system so that no one falls below a minimum level of standard of living and that taxation is in fact progressive as you can have increasing income.
Which slides right into the next topic.
Right.
Money. Yeah.
Listed yet. I kept listening for civil rights. Nobody cares. So that's what I thought was very common.
Wow.
And that category, so I said nothing. But I haven't heard anything about that.
Mm-hmm. We did not address civil rights specifically. However, in my head was that we have allowed far too many people to be terribly poor and then blamed them for being poor. And I think that the whole purpose for these preventive programs is to recognize the individual dignity of everybody, regardless of race, color, or
whatever. That's not important. You need to write
that in.
I think we should write that in. And I'll see that that's in there. Yeah.
We had covered one thing in that as we originally wrote that when we talked about the war on drugs. We wanted the war on drugs to be stopped.
Yeah.
And then the education. And one of the things that we felt was that many times Afro-Americans are particularly picked on in that, in the fact that there's so many in prison.
41% in the papers.
Yeah.
The disproportionate prosecution. And most of that is
much drug related. Just as many ways.
Real brief on money and environment. I'm sorry.
Some of the things in money have already been hit upon. One that hasn't is cutting salaries of congressional staff and the federal bureaucracy, but the question about whether that would lead to more unemployment was still there. Question about taxes, do you raise taxes on big businesses while still encouraging small businesses, and how do you do that? Raise taxes on high income individuals. I think the others have already been talked about.
We should add up all the costs of all of our programs that we're doing and come up with a good tax rate that will cover all these programs so our children don't pay for this.
On our good.
Child.
Yeah. And the environment.
I got that.
You got it.
The first group said, the group we got from said, uphold current laws vigorously. Greater emphasis support for renewable energy and recycling, promote market research on recycled goods, research and development of sustainable agriculture, and also business promotion. Put additional resources towards environmental cleanup, and I guess if we have business, acknowledge the environmental costs of business decisions, i.e. costs of disposal and cleanup included in the price of goods for carbon. And we added, emphasize that environmental protection and healthy economy should be interwoven goals. Use the bully pulpit of the presidency to view the people with the sense that we hold the earth in trust for future generations. And study the effects of defense activities such as defense aviation, rockets, etc., on the environment, especially the troposphere and the stratosphere.
Thank you. Make sure that I get these. Any last discussion? Al?
I have a suggestion. It sounds to me like our general
thoughts here are that we're really happy this is an opportunity to break the radical right religious hold on government that the Republican Party has had. I think that maybe is what we ought to say. More specifically, I recommend, Mike, that we actually put the Unitarian principles at the top.
Oh, good.
Well, I like that. Okay.
And then, for instance, here's a hodgepodge of some suggestions that have come from a lot of individuals and so on. The disclaimers for the group.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
I don't walk out of here with these sheets. I need them. Julie.
Okay. I already started passing the baskets around. You'll have to figure out where they're going to go because we're not. If everybody didn't get a chance to put their donation in, they're back there. Want to have some room for joys and sorrows. I want to say that this is a joy. I got a call from Jim Harvey, who's a finance chair. He won't be here today. He's out hunting. But he told me, as of Friday, our pledge amount was $25,450, and now it's almost $26,000. So that is the best that we've ever done by this time of the year in terms of our pledge fund. So I think that's really good. The sorrow is it's not enough. So we're going to have to struggle with this. I hope that we can struggle with it in a friendly and constructive way. Any other joys and sorrows people would like to share?
Yeah, I'd like to do.
Yes.
I've got a big joy. I just had a baby son yesterday.
Woo!
His name is Jesse, and it's J-E-S-S-I-E, and he was kind of half
pounds.
Oh! Yes. And the labor was 3 hours, and mother and son are doing good.
Oh,
great. And we're back with your school.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I have just recently heard from my 20-year-old daughter, who I've been separated from since she was 6 years old, because I was a lesbian mother, and so I have a photograph if anybody wants to see it.
Oh, nice. Very good.
I'm a treasurer, in case you didn't realize that by now. And I like to do fundraising whenever I can. I don't know if anybody has seen the sign, but the Arius is my brother, and he also makes Santa Clauses.
Oh.
And he's willing to sell these this week and next week, so I can take orders too if you want, for $35 and give $10 to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Each one's perfect, so they're all different.
Oh, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric
did our sign outside.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Oh, did you? So if anybody wants to, I mean, he's going to sell too. If anybody wants to buy something, I'll
bake them
next week so that
you
can buy them.
Okay.
Carolyn?
Yeah. I was
supposed
to say that I've taken retirement from the
old school.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Whoa. And I'm now a therapist in private practice, human relations counselor.
Uh-huh.
And also physician plus and all these other things. Mm-hmm. Provide. Provide for the very PS all of
them.
Alex and I have just returned from an elder hostel in New Hampshire where the subject of discussion was the development of constitutional government in our country. That's a joy.
Is that history or planning?
And I'd just like to take a moment to remember the 29th anniversary of President Kennedy.
Today.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that our new president, who is a great flesh presser, does not drive the Secret Service nuts with his desire to shake every hand in the country.
Any other joys and sorrows? Is there anybody visiting here today who would care to introduce themselves?
Richard Austin, just relocated up here. I'm living in Sun Prairie right now, mm-hmm. and we originally came from Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You stopped by last week, right after the service.
Yeah, after the service.
Okay.
So I'm new to the service.
Yeah.
I'm Judy Carter. I came here with him, and we're going to school right now. I'm hoping to be truck drivers later on. Oh. And maybe we can stand up on our own 2 feet after a little while.
Okay.
My name is, I hate standing, I don't get much color in here. My name is Erica, and I attended First Unitarian or something for a while, and I wanted to try Psalm Atmosphere, so this is my first time here. And I used to be a prepper.
Okay.
I'm Claire Germain. I'm down here visiting and interviewing. I'm finishing the family practice residency in Eau Claire and looking at relocating the office here.
Yes, there is a potluck after the service today, and we hope you can all stay. I'm sure we'll have plenty of food. And we need to be eating soon. We have one more song to sing from the new Immortal Love.
I'll play a little music to introduce it. Stand now and see if you can touch the ceiling. No? Okay. Try and hit it with your words as you sing.
Yes, leave the music.